we do need you, Master. We are nothing without you. We have tried and we have failed. We are failures of our own self. But in you we can do all things through the anointing. Jesus, you said, call me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. Papa, I call on the name above all names where every demon shall bow, every sickness shall disappear. Every bit of fear shall leave. The name that created all things, the name that holds all eternity, the name above every name that ever was, is, and will ever be, Jesus. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness of every area where we have offended you, and any doubt or unbelief or green with fear. Expose our enemies, Master. Expose our enemies. Grant us the wisdom and knowledge, understanding, discernment, strength, and boldness that we may be about your business. As I send your word to each and every one in this room tonight, in the name of Jesus, that by the stripes of Jesus, you are made whole, you are healed, you are delivered, you are free from torment, you are free from sickness, you are free from disease, and you are free from bondage. In the name of Jesus, to each and every one of you tonight, in this house, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Now, wherever you've been sick, whatever has been your problem, move it. Do something. Put your faith in action. And leave this place healed in his name. My God, my Lord, and my King is faithful in everything. Give your people boldness, Lord, to rip the natural realm and dive into the spirit. Glorious. Hallelujah. Where do you want to go, Dad? Yes, fill us, Papa. Fill us, fill us, fill us. Break the yoke of bondage, crucify our flesh, and deliver us from ourselves. To where it's no longer we to live, but you to live. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Can you agree with that? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to die? We'll see. Go to Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. And verse 10. 6:10, please. Would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in what? Be strong in what? The Lord. Not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wow. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That is a command. Does everybody get it? That is a command that you are to be dressed with the full armor of God. And I'm not going to go into the teaching of the full armor of God tonight. But it is a command. It's not an asking circumstance. It's a command circumstance. It's a command from God that you stay dressed. Why? So you can overcome the enemy. Now, one of the things that is really, truly expressed here is that you don't fight flesh and blood, but you fight powers of darkness. Again, I want to repeat to you that it is our responsibility to make the unseen seen. Until the unseen becomes a more of reality than what you see, you will always have areas of deception. Is everybody with me? Until the unseen is more real to you than what you see, you will always have areas of deception. That's why you're to look past the natural realm into the spirit realm. If you're always involved in making decisions according to the natural arena, you will walk in deception. In other words, you're always listening to God. You're always connecting with the things of the Spirit so that your decisions that are made according to the Spirit, not according to a natural arena. Now, I'm not saying that there are circumstances, you know, I mean, when you go to a red light, you don't have to wait for an answer. You stop. Hello? Come on, you know, we don't want to be granolas, nutty and fruity. But there are areas where the enemy will try to entrap you, won't he? He'll try to entrap you in things. He'll try to set a snare. He'll try to mislead you in any way that he can. And in this, we've got to understand that there is a spiritual fight. Now, the spiritual fight is not for your life. It's for his life. See, what you're fighting for is to maintain his life in you. Does everybody get it? See, so many people are fighting for their life. But what you're fighting for is to maintain his life in you. When you're fighting for your life, you're fighting for self. The reason you are fighting is to maintain his life in you. You're not fighting for your life, you're fighting for his life. Now, how many of y'all know that there's enemies of God? We talked about some of that, didn't we? Go to James 4 for a minute. I pray there be revelation and impartation tonight and reality of the unseen in Jesus' name. Had you ever, you know why you're sleeping at night sometimes, all of a sudden fear comes upon you? Something steps in your room, all of a sudden lust starts hitting you? It's like, oh, it must have been just something. No, it was someone. See, people have a tendency to put the blankets over their head. Hello? Or try to fulfill their desire. Instead of casting it out because they're not seeing the unseen. The unseen isn't real to them yet. Somebody comes up to them and says something to them, they get offended. And now they don't like that person no more. What a jerk. What an idiot. This, that, whatever. I ain't talking to that person ever again. Offended me. See, they're looking at the person, not who's using that person. See, the devil can only get to you through somebody else. Are you listening? The devil can only get to you through somebody or a circumstance. That's why the Bible says depart from evil. So depart from the argument. Don't feed it, walk away from it. That's why the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. Stay away from those boneheads. Let God deal with them. You shouldn't have to. Amen? Unless the Lord tells you to. See, the devil can only get to you through someone or a circumstance. Now I'm going to go a little bit deeper. The devil wants to get to you to get to God. Are you listening? The devil wants to get to you to get to God. Because he can't get to God himself, can he? Do you remember when the Lord used Job? And the devil thought he was using Job. But the devil walked away with his tail between his legs. See, do you understand that? Because even the Lord set Job up, didn't he? I mean, here are all the angels in front of him, and here comes Satan. He says, hey, Satan, come here. Have you considered my servant Job? Can you imagine if he said that about your name? Have you considered my servant such and such? He even said to Satan, you know, he's an upright man and he shuns evil. He's an upright man and he shuns evil. In other words, he was putting Satan, giving him a challenge. And Satan says, oh yeah, really? Well, you know what? I bet you he'd curse you if you dropped his hedge of protection that you plant around him. So the Lord said, okay, go ahead, take all his livestock. See, because Job knew how to protect himself. He sacrificed daily for him and his family. Just like you and I must sacrifice ourselves daily. And so when the Lord allowed the devil to kill all of his animals, which he plagued them all and they all died, then he got access to Job. But all through everything, Job did not curse God. Even his own wife came out and said, man, why don't you just curse God and die? But he said, no, I'm not going to let the devil use me to get to my creator. I'm going to let God use me to get to the devil. And that's where God wants us to get now. Remember, the devil wants to use you to get to the Lord. Because when the devil takes out God's children, it hurts him. Does everybody understand that? So the devil wants to use you to get to God, and God wants to use you to get to the devil. Is everybody with me? In James chapter 4 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Your desires or lust for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. In other words, you don't ask correctly. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures or lusts. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Makes himself an enemy of God. And what is of the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the Bible says that the love of God is not in it. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The word grace means God's plan of escape. That's why he says he gives more grace to the humble. What does he do? He gives you more of his plan. The proud, he doesn't. He holds back. So when he holds back, if you remember King Saul, what happened to King Saul? God held back from King Saul. You know what he did? He went to go seek familiar spirits because God wouldn't answer him. That's what people do and don't even know they're doing it. So when they don't get an answer from God, they go get another answer. And they don't even know it. But that familiar spirit come right up and say, hi, I've anointed you a prophet. Hi, I've anointed you this. Yes, you're going to be an exposer of this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to, whoa. I'm somebody now. Woohoo. Yeah, that's me. Oh, that's you, all right. Is everybody with me? Why? Because pride is there, proudfulness. See, when you can't humble yourself, that familiar spirit will come quick. And he'll make the exchange of the Holy Spirit as quick as you can think twice. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So you know that you've got to do the will of God to abide forever, right? But there's something important here. He says, the love of the Father. In other words, God is love. Everybody knows that, right? Is God love? And the Bible goes a little further, which we're going to go to there in a second, that God's love, in other words, God loves gives. God so loved the world that he gave. And one of the things that the enemy wants to do is prevent us from walking in the perfect love of God. Are you listening? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Would you read it with me, please? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God is for us. God is love. Everybody say, God is love.
God is love.
And love is God.
Ooh.
And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, we're to be like him in this world. What is that? Love. Now, one of the things that the enemy wants to do is prevent you from walking in perfect love. Why? Because you're going to express Christ. If he can prevent you from walking in perfect love, he brings you into bondage. Now watch this, but read it with me. Verse 18. There is what? No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First love of. Now, that could only be established in the reality that what you don't see, the unseen, is more real to you than the seen. Are you listening? Because in this reality that you know that God is always there watching you and he's loving you unconditionally. Now, for me and you to walk in perfect love, there's something that we must always fight. The enemy that tries to move us out of perfect love. So you're, why? Because you're fighting not for your life, you're fighting for the life of Christ in you now. And his presence, because you're either associating with the presence of evil or the presence of God. So you're fighting to maintain the presence of God, which you're maintaining perfect love, which is casting out all fear. So now you're submissive, you're obedient, you're consistent, you're humble, you're listening, and you're willing to do whatever it takes. Why? Because you're now walking in God's presence. His presence is now walking in you. See, this is exposing what is unseen to become seen. See, now it should become seen in your imagination, because that is the window of the unseen. That's why it's important that your imagination, the word imagine, is out of the word imagination, image, right? That's how God will speak to you. In fact, he speaks to you more in imagery than he does through his voice. Because his voice is imagery. Are you listening? Did you ever hear anybody say, a picture is worth a thousand words? How many times have you seen something in your imagination and all of a sudden you got a revelation what you just saw was happening? Or somebody said something what you just saw? Because he'll confirm it. That's why it's not an arena of memorization, it's visualization. So the things that you and I are to remember, we put in our visualization, our image. You know, there are some times when I can look at a page, and you know, you can look at a page or something, and you can glean off of that page without reading it yet. And remember certain words that are on that page. Because why? It's not because I memorized it, it's because I visualized it. So everything that you get, if you'll bring to an understanding that whatever you learn, you want to be able to teach, you'll bring visualization instead of memorization. Because your memorization is in the spirit, in the mind of the spirit. And then the mind of the spirit comes up and brings it to your memory. Are you listening? As long as you have you have it imparted within the spirit, which brings visualization. See, when you begin to, in other words, when you begin to talk to somebody about something, you remember where you were. There's a circumstance that arouses in you. You remember an event that happens. You remember somebody that said something. As soon as that comes to memory, the first thing you do is see it. In fact, you begin to look at it and look deeper at it so you can understand what was really said at that time. Does everybody get it? See, what's actually happening is you're making the unseen to become seen, because there is more than just the picture. There's a message. I don't know how we got on that. Glory to the Lamb. Now, the world is lust, isn't it? God is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear is an enemy of God. Lust is a desire to want to a point where somebody can't live without it sometimes. Hello? Love gives, no strings attached. The enemy doesn't want you to walk in perfect love. To walk in perfect love, you must do three things. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. Has everybody got it? And it is a process, isn't it? Remember, to make yourself an enemy of God, you agree with the presence of evil, which we know is sin. These spirits operate through men and circumstances, again, to get to you. So the only way your enemy is going to get to you is through the presence of evil. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Would you read it with me? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are what? His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin or the presence of evil. Right? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, from the old man, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with who? Those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Out of a what? So, you know, he's letting us know to depart from evil so that you may can, because you're fighting for the life of God now. You're fighting for the presence of God in your life. Are you listening? And by fighting for his life, you're no longer fighting for your life. His life is filling you with perfect love that's casting out fear. And by casting out fear, you're going to get to a point where the fulfilling of the scripture that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because you won't lack. The only reason why people are lacking or in want all the time is because they're not walking in the perfect love of God. Now, we know that he keeps us in the place we're always in need of him. And that's okay, because we're always in want of more of him. Always in want of more of him. And he keeps us in that arena, because he knows if we stay in the arena of always wanting more of him, we're constantly shedding ourselves. Because there's three enemies that I want to talk about tonight and bring reality, which we already know, that are your enemies. Now, if they're your enemies, they're enemies of God, aren't they? Because our enemies cause us to become enemies of God, don't they? Because we agree with the presence of evil, which causes us to become an enemy of God. Are you listening? Now, these three enemies I'm going to talk about in a second. Turn to James 3. Enemies of God. Now, remember that these enemies do not want you to walk in the perfect love of God, do they? Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. Fear is bondage, isn't it? And in this arena where if the presence of the devil, the presence of evil, prevents you from seeing the unseen. He tries to convince you. He tries to put the blame on everything else around you. Hello? Now, did you ever talk to anybody that no matter what you do, they're always blaming you? Well, you, and you. You know, sometimes there's just no words to say, come out. bind that spirit. Well, you're the one that made me do this, and you're the one that made me do this, and you're the one that made me do that. No, you touched and agreed with the voice of the devil. It's your fault. And you need to repent for blaming me. Hello? And if the devil used me, don't blame me. Blame him. In James chapter 3 and verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self, say, hold on a second. But if you have bitter envy and what? That's your first enemy. The first one I want to talk about. Who's your enemy? Yourself. What do you mean? Self is the offspring of darkness. Self. That's why you need to walk in the born-again state. That's why God said, I'll give you a new spirit, a new heart, and I'll give you my spirit and cause you to walk in my ways. But self ain't gone. It's still there. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. I said willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Self-seeking is associated with demonic wisdom. There are three enemies of God: yourself, your tongue, and your will. Yourself, your tongue, and your will. Ephesians chapter 2. There's a song that's supposed to be, it's all about you, but many people sing it, it's all about me. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody there? And start at verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Wow. By nature, children of wrath. Does everybody see this? So this is talking about the offspring. At one time, self is an offspring of darkness. They are known as children of wrath. It only considers self first. That's why they are self-seeking. It's all about me. See, in other words, no matter what they're doing, they're first looking at themselves. Is it going to benefit me if I do this? Now, don't get me wrong. You want to use wisdom. You're not going to, go into a bar unless the Lord sends you in there and preach. You may break a couple bottles. And they may be on you. So, so you don't want to go unless you're sent. Amen. So there's the wisdom from above, then there's the wisdom from beneath. But the wisdom from beneath is always seeking self. That's why you have to be careful, even in the area of intellect. Because people go to college and learn many things and they can become prideful. And they lose sight of who gave them the talent. And they've got to constantly give it to the Lord and constantly stay in the presence of God so that that knowledge doesn't puff them up, but it's going to be used for the glory of God. So that person is not self-seeking. In other words, they're going to college because they want to learn something to enter into the secular realm as an undercover agent for the kingdom of God. Do, 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 do. mission possible. Not impossible. We'll call you 007, meaning complete and perfect. Yeah, the real 007s, please stand up. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Would you read the first six verses with me? Psalm 39. I said I will what? Guard my ways, lest I what? Sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Oh, yeah. Didn't mean you wouldn't think about it. You know, there's sometimes you want to think about something, but you have dominion over it because you're under what you call self-control. Because you're controlling self because of the anointing. But it's kicking and screaming and everything when somebody's standing before you where there's a fence and all kinds of other stuff and they're accusing you and they're badgering you and you want to just kick them in the head. But you have self-control. You roll it over to God and you don't go to God and say, Lord, kill him. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I forgive them. And die. Verse 2. It says, I was mute with silence. I held my peace until I blew up. No. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. In other words, he knew that even if he tried to say something good, something bad was about right behind it. He said, I'm just going to shut up. I'm not going to say a word. And I held my peace from good. And my throat was killed. No, my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. You know, I'm going to kill this person. You know, you got all these thoughts going through and you're saying, no, no, no. Bless, not curse. Forgive. I know you'll get them later. Well, he did promise that you would see the reward of your enemy, didn't he? So you can hold on to that promise, you know, but you ain't got to say nothing. Hoo-wee. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you went through that today. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but viper or vapor. Every man's a viper at his best. I know we got a message here somewhere. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. So we see an enemy is your tongue. Yourself, your tongue. James 3. Anybody ever heard of gossip? Yeah. Criticism, lie, curse, perverse mouth, you know. Sow, reap, you know, things of that degree. Well, if the devil can get you to sow in the flesh, he can cause you to reap corruption. In James chapter 3, is everybody there? Would you read starting at verse 6? And a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I mean, think about that. You know, people go out and try to pierce their tongues. It doesn't help. They just talk with a list now. And when they open their mouth, you know why people have their tongues pierced? Because it's deception. The serpent's tongue is pierced. Man, when people talk to me with a thing in their tongue, as soon as they talk to me, I see this serpent's face. I'm going to try to catch it sometime, you know? Say, You try and think of a long word they can say so you can get it, you know? The tongue, gossip. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody there? 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Thank you. And to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous and what? Self-willed. In other words, making choices according to the will of man and not according to the will of God. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Self-will chooses according to the desire of self and flesh worldliness. Go to Deuteronomy 30, please. Deuteronomy 30 in verse 15. Would you read it with me, please? See, I have what? Set before you today life and good, death and evil. And then I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may what? Live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So who do you think wants to do that? So if you draw away and serve other gods, you become an enemy of God? Amen. Remember, you're his enemy. He's not yours. Because he can't trust you. And anyone he can't trust is his enemy. Anybody you can't trust is your enemy. That's why everybody earns trust. Anyone you can't trust is your enemy. That's why people earn trust, don't they? Don't forget that. In verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Say that. He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. See, so your choices are no longer to be self-willed choices. The choice is to be according to the will of God and not your own. So three enemies that we're associated with here is this: yourself, your tongue, and your will. Yourself, your tongue, and your what? Your will. Go to James chapter 1. So love is a choice, isn't it? Amen. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 21, James 1, 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is an idiot. No. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he what? In what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Go to Galatians 5. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. Yes. Put that tongue under your feet and speak the things of God. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22, Galatians 5 and 22, is everybody there? But the what? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? I want you to look at something here. I want you to see what he starts with and what he ends with. All right? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And what? So he starts with love, and he ends at what? Self-control. Why? Because that is the platform. Do you understand this? That is the platform where everything lays on. Self-control. That means control over self. Three enemies that we're dealing with. Self. Yourself, your tongue, and your what? Your will. That's why the fruit of the Spirit. See, if you're fighting for the life of Christ in you, you're maintaining the love of God, which casts out fear. So you're maintaining the presence of God. You're walking in the presence of God. And because you're walking in this love, you're overcoming self. Now you are in control of self, which we call self-control. You got it. So you're no longer doing the things that you wish. You're no longer speaking the things that you shouldn't, and you're no longer making the choices that are emotionally attached to you, that feel good. You're making the choices that are right before God. Is everybody okay? Do you see this? It starts with love, and its foundation is self-control. Glory. Now, remember, the enemy is going to try to keep self alive. He's going to try to what? Keep his function is to keep self alive. Why? Because if you keep self alive, you become an enemy to God. That's his purpose. If he can keep self alive, he causes you to become an enemy to God. And he does it by I'm going to give you three things how he tries to keep self alive. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? He keeps self alive by deception, by deceiving you, lying to you. So he's going to try to keep self alive in you so you maintain to become an enemy to God. He's going to try to keep self alive by deception, known as the spirit of error also. Oppression. Slavery to evil presence. You become a slave to the presence of evil. See, people who are oppressed are actually a slave to the presence of evil and don't even know it. Because what you serve, you become a slave to, right? Well, man, I'm just oppressed. I got all these things going. No, man, you don't get it. You're not making the unseen seen. You have submitted. Now you become a slave to the presence of evil. And he is oppressing you. That's oppression. It's like being under a rule or authority that's always pressing you down. Heavy. That's why Jesus said, come to me. You are heavy, heavy laden and heavy, man. So cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Deception, oppression, and unforgiveness. Why? Because with unforgiveness, it means somebody's been offended. God says, if you can't forgive them, I can't forgive you. It opens the door to bitterness, envy, jealousy, rage, unforgiveness. So these three areas is where the enemy is going to use to try to keep self alive. Deception, oppression, and unforgiveness. Has everybody got it? Acts chapter 10. So if he can keep self alive, can you walk in perfect love? No. Then there's yourself, your will, and your tongue. Man, you get those all activated at one time, you can blow up a city. Thank God he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. Acts chapter 10. In verse 36. Acts 10 verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Ooh, weighed down. Weighed down. Oppression. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's why we must maintain the presence of God, which is the anointing. And as the anointing is in you and you know all things, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. The anointing will guide you. The anointing will teach you. The anointing is a person. You are fighting for the life of Christ. Are you getting it? You're not fighting for your life anymore. You're fighting to maintain his life. See, when you get yourself out of the way, it's different. Then you're not blaming nothing. You're not in lack of anything. Because who cares when you're drunk? Who cares when you're drunk? In verse 14, would you read it with me? Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. What's the other three enemies we got of God we talked about? Doubt, unbelief, and what? Fear. Don't be yoked with unbelievers, man. Hello? Doesn't mean you're not to say hi to them. You're to express Christ to them. But don't be yoked with them. You know, believe it or not, there's many unbelievers in the body of Christ. Because the word believe means to follow. We got a lot of people in the body of Christ that say they're believers, but they ain't following. You're not to be yoked with them. Hello? Well, I'm trying to save them. We'll be trying to save you. You got to be led by the Spirit. Don't be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you do this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or reverence or love of God. And I'm going to close at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Believe it or not. I didn't say if the Lord wills. Of course, if he does say something, I will go to it. Amen. Anything you want to do, Dad? Yes, sir. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Three enemies of God: yourself, your tongue, your will. The devil's trying to keep self alive by deception, oppression, and unforgiveness. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Man, I'll tell you what. Ain't going there. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace. What's grace mean? The plan of escape. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever. And everybody said, amen. Y'all get it? Enemies of God. We'll see what the Lord wants to continue, or whatever he wants to do, we're going to do. Amen. Remember, our purpose is to make the unseen seen. The unseen must become more real to you than the seen. You must be able to look through the seen to the unseen. Is everybody with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. I ask that you, Lord, allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one. And I ask that you will manifest dreams and visions in their life and bring them to that other place that you so desire to bring us. Preparing us to be ready in season and out with boldness, anointing, and perfect love. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.